Hey everyone, welcome to our first episode of Filmception, a podcast where we review current films and talk about films in general. I'm here with Yvette Angelo.
Hi.
And Adrian Brown.
Hello.
And I should first mention that we are not professional critics of any sort.
Not at all.
We're not really professional in any way, but just big movie buffs who plan to share our love for film for you guys. So on today's podcast, we plan to talk about a small film named Short Term 12. As we give you also our list for the top five movies we're looking forward to seeing this year. Mm-hmm. But without further ado, let's get into our first review of Short Term 12.
All right.
I really think we need to talk through some of this stuff.
Not right now. I just need to work.
Jaden, come on, please just open the door. I am on the floor every day with those kids, and last night, that girl sat next to me, and she cried, and she tried to tell me the only way that she knew how.
Grace, it's not your job to interpret tears.
Short Term 12 was a film from filmmaker Destin Daniel Cretton, who is a San Diego State film major, and it's based off a short film of the same name. It stars Brie Larson as Grace, who is a caretaker at a kind of a foster home for adolescent teens, and the film centers around her and the kids she cares for, as well as the relationship with her long-term boyfriend at the time, who also works there. The film is a lot about truth and a lot about being true and having the courage, or to find the courage, to tell someone that you need help or that there's a problem. Yvette, does this film have a lot of truth in it, or do you think it's phony, cliche?
I would say that for me, it did take a while to warm up for me. It did start off a little bit. It did feel a little bit insincere when it started off. I did feel kind of like, I don't know, like it was forced, or like the comedy was being forced a little bit, or it was a little bit campy or cliche. But it, once it kind of started going, it totally like wrapped me into the story, and I was there with them 100%.
The entire rest of the film?
The entire rest of the film, yes.
Adrian, did this film speak true to you, and was it honest to you?
I was hooked from the beginning. So
me too.
Right from the original story that they were talking about, and then just cutting to when kid runs across the screen, it kind of puts you in that world and inside that mentality. And
definitely, like yeah. When they introduced Nate, I was hooked from the beginning, actually. Mm-hmm. And you got you got one character who's basically leaving, and you have a new one who just came in.
Right.
And I don't know. I love Brie Larson, who's in the film, the main girl, totally anchors the film, and it centers around her. And it's kind of an emotional, like, she has to go, like, emotionally on a roller coaster, you know?
I think a lot of people do, actually, in the film, which is really impressive that they were able to capture that in such a sincere way.
Definitely. A character that really stood out for me from the get-go was Marcus. Mm-hmm. He had the scene, like, my favorite scene, I think, is, like, that rapping scene.
Yeah.
And that one-take rap is pretty impressive. And
I think the coolest part about that, too, is when the director was talking about, because we were at the Q&A, when the director was talking about how he originally had written a rap himself and then sent it to Marcus, well, the actor, and he rewrote it, basically, for something that was going to feel more honest and true to him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that had a big part in how just special that moment was.
And just the moment at the end where John Gallagher Jr.'s character just takes in that moment where he doesn't know what to say, and even myself, there's just dead silence in the theater because it was just so heavy.
Mm-hmm. And that guy reminds me of Andy on Parks and Recreation for some reason.
I could see that.
He has like an Andy quality, like the lovable, I guess, chubby white guy. I don't know.
Do you watch Newsroom?
No, actually, but I know who's in Newsroom. Is it?
He's in the Newsroom.
He's in the Newsroom. Oh, okay. Yes. I saw that. I read an article where they mentioned someone was on Newsroom. I thought it was the other guy. Is he good in it?
He is. I enjoy it. He has that sort of a character dynamic with another character that's very similar to what I feel like is in The Office with Jim and Pam.
Oh, okay.
But it's a different sort of story, and it's interesting.
Well, the girl, the main girl, Brie Larson, I actually didn't know this, but I knew her from other films, and I had no idea. I didn't even connect her to other films, because she's, and I looked up the clips to what she was in, like Scott Pilgrim she was in. She was in, what was another film I looked up? Spectacular Now just recently came out. And this was totally, did you even know she was in Spectacular Now?
Yeah, well, the director mentioned it.
But did you know that when you were watching it? Did you
recognize her? No, not when I was watching the movie.
Do you even know who she played in Spectacular Now? She played the girlfriend.
Right, okay. I think
that's totally different. I didn't even notice that.
Well, I mean, going from like this role right here and her role in, as Envy Adams in Scott Pilgrim, like just two different sides.
So different.
And you're just, when you see either performance, you're like, wow, that's one person.
What is something that you liked about the film?
I would say that my main thing was that they were really good at the kind of sentimental moments and the moments where it was just kind of, you know, the dramatic moments. Sometimes it's really hard, I feel like, for people to buy into stuff like that. And a lot of the times, like, I don't know if it's just me, but a lot of times, like, it's hard for me to really connect with a lot of characters. And I feel that I was totally able to be there with every single moment. Even, like, I've never had, like, family problems. I've never been in a foster care. But you know what I mean? Like, even, like, Jaden, when Jaden was having her, like, her panic attack when she runs back into her room. I don't know if I'm allowed to say too much, but yeah, her, she had a moment, really, just, I was there with her, like, my eyes were getting watery. And I think another thing I liked a lot about the film is that, it was able to have these, like, really kind of heavy, emotional, sentimental moments, but they weren't, like, melodramatic.
Overly dramatic.
Yeah, right. They weren't, like, over the top.
They always broke it with a joke or a humor, which kept you lefting, like, it keeps you back out
of
it.
Yeah, it was very tasteful.
The cake.
Oh, that's like a perfect example of their type of humor in there. And where she's even trying to be serious, and then it breaks that with her not being able to contain her smile.
So I would, like, catch myself, like, my eyes are all watery, and I'm, like, feeling it, and then, like, I want to laugh or I want to smile, and it just kind of, like, takes you out of that. So it was a really good just kind of mix.
And I don't want to compare it to other movies, but I think of Precious when I think of that, and I think about how Precious could have used that. Could have had that, because when I remember, couldn't put my finger on why I wasn't a huge fan of Precious.
It was just so
heavy and thing after thing. And I'm not saying a movie needs that, but you know what I mean? You want to put your audience through so much pain, you better have some payoffs where you, you know, and a film like this leaves me feeling inspired at the end instead of just, like, I've just been whipped for 90 minutes. So a lot of drama in here, but it's always taken with a good side of humor with it, and I love that. And I love the you said Jaden. I love how her character, like, served as kind of a I didn't know Bree really had problems herself, or not Bree, who's Grace. Grace had problems herself until we reveal the problems of Jaden, and that way that character is introduced and we're understanding her character. You know, we realize they're a lot more similar than we think they are, and in order to get her to get, you know, to tell people about her problems, that's kind of what she needs to do as herself, as a character, to her boyfriend. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I like that it's kind of, I don't know, it's really clever in that way. And I think even the boyfriend says at one point that you need to start taking your own advice.
Right.
I love that. I think that's, like, one of my favorite parts about it. Do you think that this filmmaker is going to be, like, someone?
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. I think it makes all of us, like, San Diegans or people, San Diego State alumni, like myself, proud, because, you know, it's local, and it's really cool that somebody that's local from our city is, you know, headed in such a bright, has a bright future, has headed in that direction.
And to tag onto that, I was looking up the director's IMDb page and seeing all the credits, and the first one is Bartholomew Song, and it's a short story.
Never seen it.
We'll watch it right now. Okay. Once you finish this. But I recommend that you do, too. But I remember seeing it a couple years back for the first time, and he was there, and not making that connection until right now. It's pretty insane.
Cool.
Yeah, he also has a short that I'm sure a lot of people have heard of, I'm Not a Hipster.
I'm Not a Hipster, yeah.
So that's something that's kind of popular. But yeah, definitely. I'm really excited for him to see where he's going, what he's going to do next.
Well, that's Short Term 12. I don't want to get at the movies, but you definitely recommend it.
Yeah, definitely recommend it, especially if you're a local San Diegan or San Diego State alumni, go support. I definitely think it's something that everybody should see. And it's something that's not usually seen, I feel like, in theaters. This topic, it's rare and it's really cool, and it's admirable that he was that he made this and that he was able to do it so well.
Definitely.
So definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I would have to recommend it as well. I mean, I don't want to be unbiased because he's a San Diego, but I'm putting that totally aside. If this didn't know this guy, if this movie just came out in theaters, I would totally watch it anyways.
If you're from North California.
If you're in the world. it's honestly, it's really a really cool gem, and it's definitely worth seeing and checking out.
Definitely.
Adrian, same for you?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
There you go. So that's Short Term 12, out in theaters right now and released. I think it might be expanding out more, but don't take my word for it. Again, we're not professionals. So coming up next is our top five list of our movies that we're anticipating on seeing, can't wait to see for 2013. All right, coming up next. Hey guys, welcome back here. Now it's time to reveal our top five movies that we're most looking forward to in the year 2013, upcoming this fall. And we're going to start with Adrian. Okay. Start with your number five. And I'm going to just go ahead and say that this was a lot harder than I thought it was going
to
be.
So this is from least excited to most excited.
Least excited to most excited. Okay. But I'm excited for every single one of these. It was really hard ranking these things. Because honestly, I'm looking forward to a lot of movies. Yeah. I had no idea.
I should mention that my list is 27 films long.
Whoa.
So I will say the top five that I have.
Just start with your last one on 26 okay. first. Because what is it? I need you to say that real quick.
It's The Hunger Games. That's.
Oh, okay. Well, that's totally fine. All right. Start with your number five. What is your number five film you're looking forward to?
Number five, Wolf on Wall Street.
Okay. Of course.
Cool. Just that trailer and the pacing and the song. I mean, how can you not get excited about a Scorsese film?
Cool.
Seriously. When Jonah Hill looks like he's going to be... I don't know. Jonah Hill looks like a standout to me in that trailer. I'm looking forward to what he does next after Moneyball.
He's just on a roll.
Yeah,
definitely. Oh, let's just say it. Yvette, what is your number five?
My number five is my guilty pleasure, Bad Grandpa. Oh,
yes! Yeah. I love that that's on your list. I couldn't put it on my list. Too many good ones. But why?
Just because when I saw that trailer, I was cracking up in the theater. I could not stop laughing. So I was like, my excitement for it in the theater when I saw the trailer for the first time is just, I have to.
It's a guilty pleasure. It's got like a Borat feel to it.
So it was just the funniest thing to me.
And then just trying to think of what can be shown in the film that you didn't see in the trailer. Just like, how do you have to go from there?
Yeah, that was cracking me up.
The stripper scene got me.
I hope they have more stuff in there that's just as funny.
My fear is they won't be able to string along a coherent story or a story that's even...
It's possible,
It might just be a string of skits.
Yeah, it's possible.
Which I'm okay with.
Right? We've seen all the Jackass movies.
My number five, I went with Captain Phillips, which I'm actually kind of surprised is on it. But I'm kind of a fan of the Paul Greengrass and like the Bourne movies. But I'm more excited to see Tom Hanks be in a movie that's actually like a good Tom Hanks performance.
Okay.
Showing his acting chops again. Yeah. I feel like it's been a while. So that's my main reason. I want to see Tom Hanks be a cool actor again.
Tom Hanks is on my top five, but not for Captain Phillips.
Oh my God. I know what movie you're talking about though.
Captain Phillips.
What is your number four? Is it your number four?
No, it's not. It's my number three.
Okay, we'll go ahead number four.
But my number four is ACOD.
Yeah, the Adam Scott one.
Yes. ACOD, which stands for Adult Children of Divorce, based on the book, but I just love everyone that's in that movie.
Yeah, you got like Jane Lynch
is in there.
I don't think I've seen
Richard Jenkins.
Yes,
which looks fun. I don't know much about it other than that.
Looks funny. Just from the trailers. That's
coming out soon, isn't it?
It looks like it. I think it's one of the couple.
Okay,
weeks.
Cool. Yvette, stop drinking. What are you drinking?
Sorry.
She's sick, so she's drinking a coconut water.
My number four is. I don't even know how to say this, but it's August Osage.
Osage County.
Definitely. I think the one thing that attracted me the most to that is Meryl Streep's character. Intrigued me just seeing the preview and seeing the character that she's playing. And, you know, I'm really into all the, like, actory actors. And mm-hmm. so I think that, you know, that's really something that's pulling me in.
It'd
so
be
I'm excited for it.
So fun to just hate on someone who's so popular as Meryl Streep, but it's like undeniable. She's so damn freaking good.
Yeah, definitely.
And it looks like she's, again, doing something I haven't seen yet from her.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Then you got Julia Roberts coming back again. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
So
I kind of
like,
miss
two,
her.
Two like powerhouse women. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, cool. For my number four, I went ahead, and this might be surprising, but I went with Enough Said. I love Julia Dreyfus. I love, it's James Gandolfini's last role. And remember we saw the trailer? It's James Gandolfini's last role. And I know that people, I'm a big Sopranos fan, so that's all I know of him is this tough, you know, but everybody remembers him as a soft teddy bear kind of sweetheart. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that kind of side to him. Mm-hmm. So what is your number three?
Number three is alluded to Saving Mr. Banks.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm a Disney nerd, and I have to watch this. I don't know if you guys have seen, what is it called? The Boys, the Sherman Brothers story?
No.
Disney documentary about
the composers. Super Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, so...
BJ Novak plays one of them.
They played the Sherman Brothers, and I've just been waiting to see this movie for years now.
Man, I can't share my excitement with you. I don't know why.
Is that the one about Mary Poppins?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Honestly, like that, when I saw that too, I was like, it is something. It does seem like a different Disney type of movie. It's not like your typical Disney movie. It was really kind of like, it did really pull me in too when I saw the trailer. So I can share your excitement for it. Yeah. I think it's
same director of Blindside, I believe. I don't know, man. We'll see.
We'll see.
I heard Tom Hanks is in a possible supporting and lead actor possibility nominations for both movies. So.
Interesting.
So we'll see how that works
out.
Oscar buzz. Oscar buzz for you. Is it your turn? What is your number three?
Oh, number three. My number three is Rush. I don't know if I've been like overexposed by the media because I've seen the trailer so many times.
Right.
But it for some reason, every time I see it, I'm like, I really want to see that. It just seems really like, I don't know. Again, it's like those actory things that really kind of pull me in. And it seems like a really good story that I want to know about, basically.
Cool.
It's piqued my curiosity every time I see it.
I'm curious to see like what was the image that inspired Ron Howard to make the film, because I know he's a filmmaker that is inspired by pictures.
I didn't know that.
He bases his movies off these pictures that he sees.
Interesting.
But I'm curious to see what.
I wonder if that inspired him for The Grinch.
I think so.
That he saw a picture
of Grinch. Of
My number three, I went with kind of a similar thing you said earlier, the Dallas Buyers Club with Matthew McConaughey, just because he is such on a roll, and I know that he lost like a bunch of poundage for this. So
yeah, when I saw the trailer to that, I didn't even recognize him until halfway through. I was like thinking, like, you know who could really play this role? Matthew McConaughey. What?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Oh my gosh, it didn't even look like him.
It just wasn't that long ago that he was making romantic comedies,
yeah.
And now it's been Killer Joe. It's been Mud,
yeah.
And it's been, I mean, what are the other ones? I mean, he did Paperboy, which didn't do well, but he's trying, you know?
Magic
Mike, which I was a fan of Magic Mike, and I thought he was good in it. I'm really looking forward to Dallas Buyers Club. Looks like a really anti-hero type of role. I think he's perfect for it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with it. All right, what is your number two? Let's slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Adrian, what is your number two?
Number two, keeping in the same theme of my Disney nerdity, if that's a word, Escape from Tomorrow.
Is that the documentary about... No, it's the movie that was filmed in the actual Disneyland without permission.
Correct.
Wow.
Wait a second. I haven't seen that. What's going on?
I don't know much about the plot. All I've seen are these trippy trailers.
Me too. Black and white.
Black and white. And basically, this guy shot this movie in Disneyland and Disney World. But he shot it very guerrilla style. Like, if he was just like taking pictures of people. And it's just a really dark, creepy looking movie.
Interesting.
I have no idea how they're able to release that.
Well, I saw an article talking about how Disney does not endorse this movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't pressing charges because they don't want to give the publicity
to the movie.
So they're just going to be like, hey, we'll let you guys release
it.
And then from there, that's when we'll take action.
Oh my God.
We're just going to keep
super experimental.
Now.
Who knows? I mean, I'm excited to see that just on a peak of curiosity.
Yeah.
What is this movie?
Well, cool. They got actors in it, though. And I it's
what
a
was
story.
It called again?
It's called Escape from Tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Keep an eye out for that.
I'll keep an eye out for that. What is your number? What is it, two now?
Are we on two? My number two is Captain Phillips. I know you're...
Whoa!
Yeah. You know, when I saw that trailer, too, it's like, whenever I see a trailer for the first time and it leaves me with, like, oh, I would have to see that with that excitement, it, like, will definitely always be, like, one of the ones I'm waiting for. And that's one of the memorable ones. Like, the first time I saw it, I was just, like, glued to the screen. It was just... It looks so good. And Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. What? And have you seen him in really an action-y type of movie?
No,
but he does play
that. Castaway?
I guess.
I don't know. There's just so many moments in that trailer where I was like, wow, this looks really good. So
And it's based off the true story.
Yeah, definitely. So, also, those true story things always pull me into.
You've Got Mail has some action in there, right?
I don't think so. No, you know, all right.
I could be mistaken.
My number two, I don't think is a surprise. It's Gravity. And Alfonso Cuarón, I've always been intrigued. I remember seeing Children of Men in theaters when it came out, and I was didn't know that director at the time, and it just blew me like away. Right. I couldn't believe it. I was so and of course they got, you know, Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, and I'm not a huge Sandra Bullock fan, and I'm kind of a big hater on her winning for The Blind Side. But I heard that she's really good in this, so I'm really looking forward to seeing her kind of just slap me in the face, like, look at Ryan, I can act, you know what I mean? So,
get off my back.
Yeah, like, but the special effects look insane. I'm definitely gonna watch that.
Yeah,
in
IMAX. That looks like a beautiful, beautiful film.
I'm curious about it because, like, all I'm thinking is it's like Lifeboat, where you have it's just 1 hour of someone drifting in space. But I know there's gonna be a lot more.
Has to be more than that. Like,
because if it's not, then I'm just gonna be very disappointed.
It could be a complete disaster, probably. Or a complete success, but I've seen some of the earlier views, and I hear good things too. Yeah. So, what is your number one? Here we go, drum roll.
Number one is Anchorman 2.
I knew it.
How can it not be number one pick? Just the love that I have for the first one transcends into what's going to happen in the sequels, and I mean you have Harrison Ford in there, who we've not seen in the trailer. Surprisingly.
And we really haven't seen him in a comedy.
Yeah.
Really.
Except for Morning Glory.
I mean a comedy.
I laughed.
I laughed once.
And then are we going to know like half the extras in that movie? Probably.
Most likely. Yeah, I know a good handful of people that were there in the SeaWorld scene. So.
Yeah.
Are you not worried at all that this movie will not hold up to the...
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are worried.
I'm worried, yeah.
That it might diminish...
Yeah, I mean, with any sequel.
It's legend.
Yeah, but the legend continues according to the title, so. Okay. Anchorman 2, : the legend continues.
Awesome. Yvette, stop drinking your coconut water and tell us what is your number one
pick. My number one is Prisoners.
Wow.
Really?
Yes, only because, again, when I saw that trailer, I was like, oh my gosh, I was just like so intrigued, and also like there was so many moments, so many good moments in there where I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know. And also like I'm expecting the acting to be good, so we'll see.
Well, you know what's interesting about that movie is it comes out basically in like 6 hours.
Yeah, definitely.
So, let's go right now.
Yeah. Our next movie that we're going to be reviewing probably is going to be Prisoners.
Nice.
So my number one, I'm so excited. It's not even on any of your guys' lists.
We'll find out. Let me see.
Okay. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Look it's on my list. I crossed it off.
Oh, my God.
Comes out this year
on Christmas.
That should be on my top five.
Oh, my God.
You know, I had that on my list and I crossed it off because I knew it would definitely be on your list. I was like, that's going to be on his list. That's going to be on his list.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I have to see it.
Amazing.
Ben Stiller is directing this, and he's always done really well directing it. And, you know, Ben Stiller's kind of a whipping boy sometimes when he does the Meet the Fockers sequels stuff. And the Night of the Museum sequels. So I love stories of actors who want to prove themselves as something a little bit more. And it looks like this film's super ambitious. Argo, for example. It looks super ambitious.
It looks very beautiful,
and
too. Like, the pictures.
Who knows what's going to happen with it.
Yeah.
Like, it could be just a total disaster, but it's shooting.
No, I have a feeling it's going to be amazing. I don't know.
I think every film that he's done... From like just Cable Guy up mm-hmm. has been Absolutely. Something better and better. So hopefully this will be even better than Tropic Thunder.
I think so. I hope so. Because I'm really, really looking forward to seeing this one. And what make me so happy is to see like Ben Stiller at the Academy Awards would be amazing to me. I love like an underdog. It's not even an underdog story because he has so much success. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just someone who's proving himself to a little
just
bit more.
Just that hard worker, even though he could have had everything handed to him because of his parents, but...
Yeah,
he's just continually working.
That he is a he is a talent. You know what I mean? Even though he will do Meet the Fockers 3 or whatever it is.
Little Fockers. They've done the third one.
Little Fockers or whatever it is. What do you mean?
The most fuckery of them all.
Even though he'll do that, he's still someone to be reckoned with. All right, well, those are upcoming films for the 2013 we're looking forward to. Next week, I think we're going to review Prisoners as well as give our favorite movies of the year so far. So thank you guys for listening. And if you want to actually send us an email at filmceptionpodcast@yahoo.com and we'll maybe read your emails on the podcast. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. All right. See you next week.